Okay, so let's turn to the Word of God now. Today's reading is from Luke, and it's chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, and it can be found on page 1052 of the Church Bibles. Okay, today's passage is one of Jesus' parables, and I believe it's the next one in the series from which Stuart has been taking us through. The title of this parable is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And obviously Jesus, when he was telling parables to people, he was trying to maybe teach them a message, or he was challenging their behaviour. So if we just keep that in mind while we read this passage. So Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the public reading of his word. So when I was thinking about this passage, and it's quite a well-known parable, and I was thinking to myself, how challenging is this parable? So there's a lot of different points that we can take from it, but for today's sermon, I'm just going to look at four main points, but I'll do a kind of wee introduction as well, so hopefully it won't be too long. If it is too long, just start going like this or something, okay? Okay, so if I was to ask all of the drivers who are here this morning, how many road traffic laws do you struggle with? It's quite a challenging question. I'm sure that there would be a number of different answers in a room this size with so many people. For example, one of the main ones I struggle with is keeping the speed limit. And especially when I'm running late for things, and that is quite a regular occurrence. Being a youth worker, you tend to leave things to the last minute. I like to try and think I'm organised, but maybe not all the time. Another is tempted to glance at my mobile phone when I'm sitting at the lights. And I hope there's no police officers here, because I might not get to the end of this sermon without being taken away. Both of these offences are obviously quite serious. They can both result in monetary fines, and they can also cause you to get penalty points put on your licence if you're caught and charged by the police. So quite serious things. And I know that I, for one, am the first to highlight other people's downfalls when I'm on the road. And I know that I struggle with similar things to what they struggle with. So almost every morning on my way to work, I can point out people speeding, driving whilst on their phone, or even driving up bus lanes. And my wife, Ruth, will tell you that the phrase, where are the police now, tend to come out of my mouth every single morning. That's maybe a bit of an understatement. Do I actually know people's situations that they face? Do I know what they're going through? And should I really be so quick to judge people when I see them breaking the law? The person driving fast may be taking a loved one to hospital because they're seriously ill, or the person on the phone might be getting test results that they've been waiting weeks and weeks and weeks for. We just don't know what people's individual circumstances are, and that is why we shouldn't pass judgment on others' behaviour. when we have our own struggles ourselves. Because God is a gracious God and he forgives us all if we come to him and ask for forgiveness for these things. So have you ever found yourself rushing to judge other people and by doing so showing that you are more righteous or trying to show that you are more righteous than they are? Some people might say, and I include myself in this as well, that people who act in this way are doing so to justify their own behaviour. The parable that we're looking at today warns us to beware the sin of self-righteousness. Before we start to explore this passage in more depth, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that although this parable is about is mainly about the Pharisee and the tax collector, Jesus is not limiting its application to just them. As we see in Luke chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the disciples were also in danger of such behaviour. And Jesus warns them against this by telling them, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So this identifies that self-righteousness is something that everyone can struggle with. Let's think about our own lives and how self-righteousness can find its way in. We might not even be aware of it taking a stronghold in our own lives because we just get used to doing things this way. But this morning, I urge us all to take this opportunity to search our hearts and identify areas in which we struggle with pride, arrogance, or selfishness. Before we explore this parable together, it's important to know that there are many teaching points that can be taken from this passage. But today, we will identify just a few of these and how we can apply these lessons to our everyday life. Today, we will identify four key points that can be used in our daily lives to allow us not to be slaves of self-righteousness. So Jesus uses two types of people to illustrate this story, a Pharisee and a tax collector. They are very polar opposite people in relation to this story, and their traditions and their way of life were very, very different. So firstly, looking at the historical background of the Pharisee, we know that the Pharisees were a group of Jews who believed it was very important to keep all of God's rules. And because of this, they became a very arrogant group who looked down on other people who weren't as strict as them or devout in their own eyes as themselves. They thought that they did not do any wrong because they worked so hard to ensure that they kept all of these rules that God has given us through Moses. As a result of this, they blinded themselves into being self-righteous people, not the righteous people like they thought. The Pharisees really didn't like Jesus or his teachings because he really challenged them about the way that they were living their lives. He challenged them because they were so blinded that they didn't even notice all of the things that they were doing wrong themselves. So secondly, let's think about the tax collector from this parable. Now, tax collectors in those days would also have been Jewish, but they would have been working for the much detested Romans. And these individuals were seen as turncoats or traitors to their own countrymen. Rather than fighting the Roman oppressors, the tax collectors were helping themselves and enriching themselves at other people's expense. So you could say that they were not the nicest people to deal with, but the big question in this passage is, why does Jesus say that this corrupt man went home justified before God and the Pharisee didn't? It tells us in verse 9 of the passage that Jesus was telling the story to people who were struggling with self-righteousness and those who looked down on everyone else. So first of all, we see Jesus noticing a problem with the people who were around about him, and he chose to challenge their behaviour by telling this parable. To get an idea of what Jesus was meaning in verse 14, when he talks about the tax collector going home as being justified. We should take a closer look at the prayers of both the Pharisee and the tax collector. So the Pharisee's prayer gives off a very arrogant tone by pointing out other people's wrongdoings. So if we look at verse 11 of the passage, where it says, "The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like the tax collector.'" So if we look at that, and it shows us that he's clearly pointing out other people's faults, the murderers, the adulterers. His arrogance gives the impression that God is lucky to hear from him and not the other way around like it should be. So his arrogance gives the impression that God is the lucky one and not him. He also takes great delight in bragging about his holy lifestyle, about his fasting, about the giving, the tithes that he gives regularly. He boasts about these things. And although we might be quite shocked when we read this prayer, that would actually have been quite a normal prayer for a Pharisee in those days. So if you were in the temple and you were standing next to them, you would maybe have overheard a similar prayer on a regular basis, and it was just the norm because that was the type of people that they were. So likewise, the people listening to Jesus tell this story would likely have heard many prayers like this before from the Pharisees. So the tax collector, on the other hand, is the complete opposite in his prayer. He comes, his whole body language is so different. He stands at a distance, and he wouldn't even look up to heaven. So unlike the Pharisees, he's ashamed of his actions and lifestyle. He prays from a distance because he feels so unworthy to be in God's temple. This then answers our question, because the tax collector came timidly but willingly, admitting that he had did wrong, and he asked for God's forgiveness. Conversely, the Pharisee was so blinded by his pride and was too busy pointing out other people's wrongdoing that he didn't even notice the fact that he himself was also guilty of many sins. It is so important in our lives to pray and acknowledge God in every situation that we face. But what is equally important is the attitude that we have towards prayer, because it's such an important thing. Do we come to God humbly in prayer, or do we come proud with our shopping list for him? It is important that we put our confidence in God and not in our own ability. The tax collector is clearly putting all his hope in God, whereas the Pharisee is glorifying his own actions. In order to be justified before God, we have to examine ourselves and find the areas of struggle and sin in our lives and come humbly before God and ask him for forgiveness. So let me ask you a question. How do we get into heaven? Is it by human effort, by keeping all of the rules, or is it by humbling ourselves before God? It's important for us to remember that our salvation does not depend on what we can achieve, but on what we are willing to receive from God. We are not saved by our good works, but by God's grace. Let's now take a look at four helpful points from the passage that can help us to stay focused in our everyday lives. So the first point is, don't pretend to be righteous. So if you turn with me in your Bibles back to verses 11 and 12, and we'll read these together again. So verse 11 and 12 talks about the Pharisee stood by himself praying, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." So the first point, don't pretend to be righteous. In those verses there, we see the arrogance again of the Pharisee when he says, "I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else." So again, he's pointing the finger and not really looking at his own self. He then goes on to list the things that he does do, which is a clear sign of someone who's trying to justify his own actions. How often in life do we act in a similar manner as this? Pointing out other people's wrongdoings before we're trying to justify why we're acting in a certain way, or to explain why we said what we did. What we don't realise is that in acting in this way, we are actually putting up barriers to try and protect ourselves, and in doing so, are pretending to ourselves that we are righteous when we're actually very far from it. Like the Pharisee in this parable, we can at times get into dangerous routines and begin to do things to feel good about ourselves. The Pharisee's routine would have been keeping God's rules, tithing, giving his money, and praying a certain number of times a day because he felt led to do this to show his righteousness. We can see that he wasn't honouring God, but was kidding himself on that he was righteous, when actually he was not even close to it. This may not have always been the case. At some point, he may have had a real interest and urge to honour and glorify God, but at this point in Jesus' story, it was just another opportunity to glorify himself and to undertake his usual habits that made him feel good about himself. I wonder if we see similarities in our own involvement with the church today. This is one of the many challenges that I found this week from this passage when looking over it. Do we come to church out of habit? To volunteer? To socialise? Or to make ourselves feel good? I'm not saying that any of these things are bad in any way, but should they really be the main reason for us coming along on a Sunday? Or should our purpose in church be to deepen and further our relationship with God? The Pharisee in this parable probably felt good about himself because he went to church and in doing so actually helped trick himself into thinking that he was a righteous person. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21, it says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity and honour." God is calling us as his people to be righteous in his sight rather than in the world's sight. And as Solomon has written in Proverbs, if we pursue real righteousness and love, we will really find it. Jesus spoke of this too in John chapter 10, verse 10, when he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Let's be on our guard so we are not being distracted by the devil who tries to trick us into thinking we've got it all sorted when actually we really don't. Instead, let's focus on coming in humility before Jesus, who came to earth to give us life in all its fullness, and who is the only way to the kingdom of heaven. So let's move on to the second point now. The second point is, don't get caught up in the rules. Rules are important in our life every day, but we need to keep them in perspective. We live in a society where we're surrounded by rules. In employment, in school, in university, when we're driving, when we're playing sport, the list goes on and on. Rules are everywhere, and they are also there to help keep us in order and to ensure that everyone is singing from the same song sheet. But how easy is it to keep them all? I'm sure that you will admit, as well as myself, that in life you've broken maybe one or two rules in your time, and as a result you've had to deal with the punishments of your actions. Sometimes we can get caught up in the do's and don'ts of our life, and then we lose sight of why we are really there. None of us are perfect And because of that, it is impossible for us to keep every single rule. God knows this too. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 20, it says, "Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Jesus is the only perfect person to have walked on the earth. And that is why we should live our lives striving to be like him, not striving to keep all of the rules all of the time. If we live to keep the rules, we will fail and we will fall into the trap of self-righteousness. Our pride and ego can swell when we begin to see ourselves keeping certain rules that others really struggle with, and can lead us to begin to boast about our own achievements and talking down to others. This, as shown in the parable, can lead us into a false sense of security and can cause us to be blind to the fact that we are becoming arrogant and cause us to point the finger at those who are not doing as well as what we think we are. As we have mentioned already, we cannot score our way into heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answers Thomas by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So let's humble ourselves before God each day and keep the rules in perspective. Yes, it's important not to break the law, but it's also very important to strive to be like Jesus, not the rule keepers. So let's move on to our third point now. The third point is, don't let pride take over. As we travel through life, we can often stop and look at all that we have achieved and be pretty pleased with ourselves. And it's important that we are proud of our achievements. Some of us also relate to feeling very proud about our children or our grandchildren and their achievements in school, in work, or in other aspects of their life. All of these situations give us a sense of joy and happiness and are really important for our self-esteem. We all need a certain amount of confidence in our everyday lives, but we have to be careful that we don't become too proud of ourselves and have pride in our own abilities. This can lead to us glorifying ourselves instead of glorifying God, who made us with the abilities that we possess. All we have to do is watch a game of football or watch a pop concert today, and we can see the result of pride taking over as the performers bask in the glory of their fans. But the danger with living like this is that it can lead to many other problems. Looking at today's parable, we can see the results of the Pharisee letting pride take over him. The Pharisee, during his prayer, pointed the finger at others instead of looking into his own heart. Having too much pride in ourselves can lead us to passing the blame onto other people rather than taking the responsibility for our own imperfect actions. When we all allow pride to take over, it can cause us to become judgmental. How often do we say, "I'd never do what she did," or "Why does he always do it that way? Can't he see my way so much better?" However, these thoughts really make us feel better about ourselves or view the other people in a better light. So in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23, it says, "Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honour." God loves it when we are humble before him, but people who are too proud will cause themselves to be disliked because of their arrogance. We need to ask God to help us keep our pride in check, to ensure that proud arrogance is kept at bay and our focus can truly be on him. So we'll move on to the fourth and final point now, and that is always humble yourself before God. We see the tax collector doing this in verse 13, when it says, if we look back to the passage in verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So the parable shows two very different people, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Both are opposites in terms of personality, professions, lifestyles, but both have clearly set out for personal gain. The tax collector wanted to line his own pocket, and the Pharisee wanted to boost his ego. When it comes down to it, which of these things actually matter? In truth, neither of them can give you eternal satisfaction, because both money and pride lead to greed and a constant want for more. The only way into heaven is by God's grace, which allows us to come humbly before him and seek forgiveness for the sins that we have committed. The tax collector shows us what it means to come humbly before God. He took time, distanced himself from others, and quietly prayed a selfless prayer, showing that he understood that he was unworthy of all that God had done for him, and pleading with God to mercifully forgive him for the sins he knew he had committed. Humility is something that lots of people struggle with, particularly in this society that encourages and promotes the often public glorification of individuals. For all achievements, big and small, we live in a culture which is becoming increasingly selfish. iPods, iPhones, iPads, all allowing me to pick what I want to listen to look at, and encourage people to become insular and isolated. Selfies, those of you who might not know what a selfie is, it's a picture of yourself that you post online or you send to your friends. Selfies removing anyone else from being the subject of your photo. So it's all about me. It's the kind of culture that we live in. And so often we like to showcase ourselves and try and impress people, but put ourselves in an unrealistic light with the use of Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. Online computer games, when people become addicted to try and beat their best score and beat the best score of others. All these examples show how we are living to bring glory and recognition to ourselves. But is this really what God wants? Everything good we have comes from him, yet he is not getting the recognition or the thanks or the praise. How often do we thank God when our achievements are publicly recognised? How often do we do that? Say at a graduation or when we win an award? How often do we thank him in the little victories in our lives? Such as getting our favourite parking space outside the church on a Sunday, or finding that amazing bargain when we're out shopping. James chapter 4 verse 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. When we humble ourselves before the Lord and give him all the glory, he will acknowledge us, encourage us and strengthen us. So by thanking God for all our achievements and turning everything we achieve back to him, we are acting selflessly and therefore admitting to be nothing without him. Do we give God all the glory that he deserves? In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, God is recorded as saying, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. As Christians, God encourages us to humble ourselves, like the tax collector did. Pray and really search for him. And above all, turn away from our sin and towards him. This is what he asks of us. And in return, he promises to give us and to have, he promises to forgive us, sorry, and to have mercy on us. Which of these two people in the parable would you most associate yourself with? The Pharisee or the tax collector? The truth is, we can learn some valuable points from both. How to do things and how not to do things. Both have their own struggles in life, but they were both in need of one thing, and that was forgiveness, so they could have the relationship with God that they both sought. I want to give you some time to reflect on this passage. So I would like to show you a short video clip. I know we're maybe a wee bit pushed for time, but I'll show you a short video clip. Please take the time while you're watching the video to reflect and pray over the areas that were spoken about from the passage this morning.